We are not heroes, nor are we villains, neither kings nor magicians, but we can tell you their stories. We are the Lore Keepers, and we welcome you to Hallowmay.
Welcome to Hallowmay. This is Lore Keepers, The Boundless Venture, the world-renowned podcasting opus, wherein the richest tapestry of lore in human history is being sung into being before your very ear holes. I'm Carter.
And I'm Frank.
And whether you melt jewelry in volcanoes, burn steel to usurp the Carrion Throne, or crit on your Grey Warden to floss, sit a while by our fire. Ho, 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 ho.
Oh, Carter, shush. Listen, do you hear that?
The crackling of the fire?
The crackling of the fire? And I think that's the sound of snow boots on the roof. I think you should probably tell your neighbor to get off your roof. But also, it could be Santa?
I think it's Steven Spielberg. I'm having him put up the lights.
Okay. Gotcha. That makes more sense. Yeah, gotta get those interns, you know, get their hours in. They gotta know what it's like in the real world.
Yeah, exactly.
Merry Festag to everyone. Happy Bremen, Festival of Lights, etc., etc. Holidays. And Carter, you can finish the intro if you want to. I just wanted to give it a little of that holidazzle spin.
Ho, 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 Frank. This half fortnight, we're talking about a holiday.
That's how Santa talks.
A holiday. Oh, that's my Santa.
What? That's how yours is. That how the Santas at malls near you, is that how they talk?
It is, yes.
Oh, hello, little boy. We're talking about Christmas.
We're talking about a holiday in our little coastside island resort town of Badassati. But before we get into that, Frank, how are you and your Santa Claus doing? Let's cuddle on that couch.
Okay, is that how you're referring to Rachel now?
You're Santa Claus?
She's my Santa Claus.
Oh, there you go.
If you know what I mean.
Okay.
I'm cutting that. Yeah, I guess at the time of this release, it's going to be Christmas, huh?
Yep.
Christmas Day. Literally. Wow.
The day
Happy
of
Christmas to everyone. For those who don't celebrate Christmas, happy
Hanukkah,
holiday you,
happy Kwanzaa,
you might celebrate.
Happy or Festivus.
Just, yeah, enjoy the season of cheer that it is. You know, hopefully you're not on work right now. I would hurt for anybody who, you know, is listening to, or if you're listening to this at any other time of the year, I guess Merry Christmas to you.
And
from
happy
July.
New July.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know. I'm probably doing okay, I think. This is me trying to predict how I'm doing on Christmas Day. I'm actually probably very excited. Okay, you know what? Here's what I'll tell you.
There are two bottles of mulled wine deep.
Well, actually, probably eggnog. Dude, you ever do alcoholic eggnog? The real stuff?
I can't. I've never done it, and I can no longer do it because there's eggs.
Is there a version of eggnog that has no eggs in it?
I think then it would just be nog, Frank.
Well, you can probably get holiday nog. I feel like that's actually a thing.
What is
because not everybody
nog?
Likes to eat or drink eggnog with nog in it, you know?
No, you mean with egg?
Egg, yeah, you know what I mean.
Well, the nog is the best part.
I mean, yeah. No, I mean, I think that that's actually a thing. Because really, eggnog is just kind of related to a flip, which is a kind of drink, like an alcoholic drink that has an egg in it. There's all sorts of different ones, but oftentimes it's like you use port, nutmeg, Ooh. And egg. And
I like a nice fortified port.
It's pretty good, actually. But no, the thing that I was going to say is, so Rachel and I are in the process of kind of creating new holiday traditions. And because, you know, because we don't really have any that makes sense so one of the things that we're trying is like, if we haven't stopped buying things, you know, because it's December, but not all of the things are like surprise presents to each other or whatever. They're just like a household good or whatever. Like, you know, we got a couple of like stemless wine glasses recently because we're like, hey, these would be nice to have. And we saw them at Crate and Barrel. Was it Crate and Barrel? No, World Market for like $2 a piece. And it's like, great.
What about the cats? But
what about the cats?
Did they get any gifts?
Oh, they're getting presents.
Good.
They have their own stockings. We don't have stockings yet, but the cats have stockings because we found an F&M and it was perfect. But I think we might make our own stockings. We're not sure.
Darn your own stockings.
Let me finish my thing so we can start the so I can stop talking because I just want to get through this. No, basically, we are wrapping. I'm wrapping my own stuff, but I'm just addressing it to other people. So, for instance, all the PC parts that I got, I'm just going to wrap those boxes. So, because we just want to see a bunch of boxes under a Christmas tree. That's like a part of the holiday cheer experience, is like to like see a big pile in front of our tree that has been torn to shit because the fucking cats won't leave it alone. Have I told you about that?
No.
Fucking hell, dude. Okay. It's not torn to shit. Thankfully, the cats, I think that Finn just really likes to bite on the metal or something of each of the little, because we got an artificial one of the pine stems or whatever. But Maisie likes to climb it.
Oh, no.
And we've had to put so much fucking tape. We tried doing the spray and that didn't work at all. So we have so many of these like 2 foot long ribbons of tape that are just hanging from higher branches down. We taped up the entire inside of the limbs and stuff. And we're probably going to have to do this for the foreseeable future each time we put up the tree. Hopefully she'll calm down when she's not a kitten anymore. But yeah,
she just it's ridiculous.
Rachel was, well, she hates it because the way that it touches either her fur or her paws, and it's really hard for her to get off. Like yesterday, we saw there was this big long piece of tape that was just stuck to her belly fur because she had been trying to get it off and she couldn't, so she just gave up. It was pretty fun. But yeah, no, we try just like wrapping tape around like I don't know what you call that, but you know, the stems of
the limbs,
like where the needles, yeah, with the limbs. Thank you. Wow, that was not so hard. It shouldn't have been that hard, but it wasn't working. Or it only worked okay because she could use the wider part that was much harder to tape to like get up higher. So what Rachel, this was brilliant. She literally just took pieces of tape and just hung them loosely down, and we did that all around the inside and outside. Now it's basically impossible for her because they're just like these massive pieces that are loose, and so if she even brushes them, they just grab her. It's very cute to see a cat extremely high in a Christmas tree. It's also the worst fucking thing ever because she could tip it over or like knock all of our ornaments off and shit, and it's yeah, it'd be a mess. Anyways, that's how I'm doing. What are you doing for Christmas?
Well, I'm you know, as you might suspect, listener and Frank, I don't particularly care much for holidays, so I don't do really anything for Christmas besides the gift giving aspect, because I'm expected to, and because people give me gifts, and so it would kind of be a bit of a dick move if I didn't give anyone gifts.
Right.
So
right, but you don't, yeah, you don't like have any sort of, I mean, I'm not even that huge on traditions, honestly. I think that traditions can be a huge problem, but I think choosing to create your own traditions can be really fun. You don't have like much of the desire to do any holiday spirit type things?
Nope. The way I see holidays is it's
asked and answered.
It's just, you know, time to spend with family. And so
yeah,
that's what I do.
Yeah. Well, hopefully y'all aren't listening to this on Christmas Day. If you are, because you can't hang out with your family, especially if you're living alone, our hearts go out to you. And I mean, maybe throw something up on r/thelorekeepers or a more populated subreddit. Reach out, connect with some people, do a friendsmas or something. Or if you don't celebrate Christmas, but you celebrate Hanukkah or something and you haven't been able to do that with your family, reach out. I think now is the time to not see your family if you can. Avoid it at all, because things are fucking terrible right now. But also, try and do something with them. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you can always go to r/no sleep or r/TheDonald if you need comfort. I think
Wait, what's actually r/sleep?
r/no sleep.
Okay. Yeah. What is no sleep again? Isn't that like terrifying stuff?
Yeah. It's like, you know, weird, creepy shit. So that you look up when you're not sleeping and you can't then sleep. That's the sad idea.
Yeah.
But I think the download actually got banned, didn't it?
I am pretty sure it got banned. Okay. I think it got at least quarantined, but I think it got it straight up banned.
I mean, I guess you're going to have to go to 16chan or whatever the...
you know what? So 8chan actually got taken down.
Oh, wow. So they've all moved to 16chan then.
I have to assume. Well, no, there's actually a new site that has replaced it.
1D4chan?
No, 1D4chan's all right. Well, okay. I don't know if it's all right. But it's like 4chan levels of maybe not all right.
Is it 1D8chan?
No, it's. I'm not going to say what it is, honestly, because I don't really want to spread it. But it probably wouldn't be that hard to find it if people were looking for it. It's just people writing about using the N-word a lot and extremely anti-Semitic stuff, and it's just so disgusting.
Checks out.
Yeah.
But it's Christmas time now, right?
It's Christmas. And in Halloween, we have forever ago talked about, I think last year we totally forgot to do a holiday episode because it's just kind of by the time that we had it out, we realized that the holiday had come and gone. But this year we thought we would focus on some magical stuff that happens in our town, our city of Parasari, and how that relates to the holiday season. So as you might know, we have a week of the Festival of Lights. It's known as Bremen. If you want to know more about it, you can check out the podcast description. We kind of go through and explain sort of that it is, I don't think it's a specific event that it's representing, right? It's more just a time to celebrate the Nine Flow itself.
Yeah, there are different events for different cultures, but a lot of Halloween does Bremen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a pretty common event, at least in Everest, and the reason why it's recognized as such is because, it's the winter months, things are probably cold or a little dreary, and people want to, you know, lift their spirits and have some sort of festival. And at the end of the year, a Sidarian year, I should say, is 366 days, at least according to the Trapensian calendar. It's 366 days in a year, and 6 day weeks, which means that there's 61 weeks. 360 divided by 60 is six, right? And so each of the months has consistent number of weeks, except there is one week at the end of the year that is not assigned to any month. And it's actually, I think that the way that it's seen, depending on your culture or the way that you approach the calendars, it's actually in between years. Like it's the end of the year ends on the last day of the last month, Shavuot, and then the next year doesn't actually begin until after the week of Bremen. And so Bremen is sort of this like in between time where people get to celebrate, and if at all possible, people don't work. And it's sort of like a year's Sabbath, the Sabbath for the year, where like everybody just kind of goes out and gets to have time to rest and spend with each other and connect and. Really, it's just like a
Saturnalia.
It is a fantasy. It's a fantasy. It's a fantasy I have of the idea of like not doing any work for 6 days straight. It sounds really nice. Anyways, so that's how it's celebrated in Bremen. But in Parasari and in this ocean, I don't remember what we called the ocean.
The blue one.
I think things are, Carter had some ideas of how we could twist that. And so, Carter, I'm going to give it to you.
So my idea that I pitched to Frank prior to the episode's dawning in brilliant light was, what if we took Bremen with its roots and, you know, Christmas and Festivus and pine trees?
Festag, don't forget Festag.
Yep, Festag. What if we took that and combined it with the Dia de los Muertos of South American, like, Halloween?
I think it makes a lot of sense. The idea of sort of celebrating the dead. Do you think, okay, because here was my idea. What if tidlings are, like, walking around? Like a bunch.
So let's think for a moment about what the seasons work like. So we're on the equator, more or less.
Mm-hmm. So they're almost really directly on the equator, I think, actually.
So there are no seasons, basically.
I mean, it's a wet and a dry season, you know? Right?
Yeah.
Because the Sidar, like Earth, is still at an axis. So it's still like, you know, when it moves around Yadiel, it still has like, a you know, more or less daylight. It's just, it doesn't waver that much.
Well, that's the idea, is that, you know, you're on an axis, right? Mm-hmm. And the tilt of the Earth, or Sidar in this case,
mm-hmm.
is going to be a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you notice, my fingertips aren't moving that much.
Oh, I see. Your hand is the equator.
Yeah. Well, and so...
Okay, so...
The
yeah,
equator is here. And the fingertip is what's on the equator. And it's not moving very much.
Depending on what side of the year. Right, because up on the top, if that's moving a bunch, like if it's over here on one side of the year and over here on the other side of the year, you're going to get a lot more or less light. That's right. I forgot. Yeah. The lengths of the day are always like pretty much consistent.
Yeah.
But the thing is weather around the equator is still affected by weather in the rest of the world, because those are part of the same wind systems ultimately, meaning it does like change what weather is like around the equator. It's just, it's, I think, I don't know if wet and dry season is something that's just unique to Earth. If that would happen, excuse me, on other planets, other Earth-like planets, if you'd still have a wet and dry season. But I would say, for the sake of it, I'd say let's start there. And if we have reason to depart from a wet and dry season, we can. But otherwise, I think we just do that.
So let's talk about what's going on in our holiday season here. Is it that it just rains the entire time? And so there is a kind of like somber atmosphere of the sun is covered for the most part. It's either cloudy or raining.
I mean, I think that what distinguishes it, this is a good question. I don't know. Astronomically speaking, I think that they are keeping track of the year and how time changes. I think it is understood that, like, you know, there are years, or, you know, the location of things does change. It's not as important to measure, but there are still seasons of growth, I guess, or, you know, like it could be monitored more in like maybe migration patterns of fish and stuff.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, things that are coming down to the equator.
But don't forget that these people were at one point a colony of.
Oh, that's right. Of the Eldian Imperio. Yeah.
No, the Sanguine Empire.
What?
No, the Sanguine Empire. They were of the, what was it? No. Remember, the Eldian Imperio was Rakvar's thing. The new.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the new empire here was the Marian one. The Marian dynast or whatever.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that we had... I forgot that the Eldian Imperio's limits were not a full part of the Sanguine Empire. The Sanguine Empire and the Eldian Imperio do not have a one-to-one mapping.
Yes, the Eldian Imperio...
was just the land grab that was going on, specifically in Everast and Tanatlohi.
Yes, it
and
was...
And maybe all of Umdara, but not the entire world.
Yeah, it was very much a small portion of the empire compared to the empire's full reach, and you had different empires of this mm-hmm. after the splintering, and one of them was the Marian.
That's right.
I don't know, what do we call it? The Marian dynasty, the Marian dynast, the Marian.
I don't remember what it was. I'd have to listen to a previous episode, I think, to get that. I might have written it down in the Discord. I'm trying to launch the Discord, but it's being naughty.
Okay.
But yeah, okay, so it does have its roots in whatever that dynasty was. And earlier than that, it does have its roots in the Sanguine Empire. That's correct.
I'm not seeing it in the Discord.
Maybe it's not.
I only see Michi Gandalf.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty good. I saw that and I never commented on it, but I enjoyed it.
Okay, I'm glad you did.
What about a state that looks like a mitten? Michi Gandalf. So dumb.
Yeah, I love it. I love how dumb those memes are. All right.
But, oh, okay, so we've kind of, let's recenter. Here's, I think, what first of all, if you look at Indonesian cultures, you look at Polynesian cultures, like, there are holidays. There are still holidays, you know. They're more commemorative of events that might happen. They still have gods. They still have some semblance of astronomy or, like, tracking that stuff. That's pretty intrinsic to human experience, is, like, keeping track of the stars and, like, reading that stuff. That's not something that you need, a advanced civilization to figure out.
Yeah, and I mean, when you sail, you're obviously going to use the stars to navigate by. So, that, yeah. I mean, there's their own culture. And as I said, I brought up the Sanguine Empire to say that they might have a calendar from the Sanguine Empire that looks like, you know, in some extent, looks similar to the Trapezian.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, and so what I was thinking was, like, I don't know if they use, this is what I was trying to get at. I think something magical is happening. Something magical is happening. So we know that magic is something that travels along light, right? Yes. And then it becomes prismatic when it hits, like, essentially, like, the ley line spire, splinter that light into multiple different forms, and then that gets drawn out of the arcane sea, i.e. the, you know, interplanetary medium, and draws down into Sidar, right? That's, like, generally where magic is coming from.
I think that, like, Yadiel acts as an elephant sucking up all the magic in the sea, and then it shoots it like an elephant does water. Sidar, and then it radiates over Sidar, hits the ley line spires, and the ley line spires act as prisms that spread the filtered magic through Sidar.
That's basically what I said, except you added an elephant, and I think that's very fun.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so basically that's happening. It's not super important that you know that, but what I was, where I'm going with that is, I think that that then does mean that the year might affect some things about the way that magic interacts with the world because of how light is hitting the world and at what angle, and, like, I'm not going to go into any level of detail with that. Like, I'm just saying, I think that magical events could happen on a yearly basis, and this is the precedent for why that would be. And I think that this festival, I don't know if it occurs during Bremen, but I think it does occur once a year where I think that the event that is the inciting of doing this Bremen-like thing is that for 6-ish days, or maybe it's like 3 to, or, you know, anywhere from 4 to 9 days, depending on the length of the experience, I think that tidelings become extremely present.
Yes.
And this is all trying to bring it back to what you were ultimately saying with the idea of, like, the dead. I think that it's like the, basically people believing that the dead come back to life, and that tidelings, it's not the dead coming to life, but it's sort of like a magical manifestation, or, like, we were talking about with that assigning of sort of a spirit to a role of, in a way, it almost is like the dead coming back to life. But I think people get to visit their dead relatives this way. And it's kind of like Coco, actually. It's sort of in the same way that in Dia de los Muertos, like, they get an opportunity to sort of return to the land of the living. There's this call on them where the tidelings, I don't know how we decide how this works, because I know that tidelings are oftentimes an amalgam of many different peoples or personalities that are all closely matched enough where they can appear as one personified person who kind of has aspects of each of them. And we could do that, honestly, but I just like the idea of, like, basically this is a short period of time where the tidelings stay around for much longer. I think that their behavior is still very tidling-like in that they have almost this actor's shallow sense of identity where they are more playing a role than they actually are an entity. But it is still, I think, an opportunity for people to see their grandparents or great grandparents or ancestors, etc.
But Frank, I want to make something clear.
Yeah, what's up?
I thought that Tidelings were not amalgams. They were either creations of an entirely new soul thing or, you know,
mm-hmm.
magical entity from the like ideas of other people, like the Humble Bard, or they were a specific soul that was called to fit a certain bill.
Right. What I was thinking of, I don't know. I think all of this, I think that we kind of tabled it for a little bit because we couldn't necessarily decide, because I think I was leaning more towards the idea of the specific spirit being called to play a role that is close to theirs, but is so I see what you're saying. So I There's think never I would like it to be that
souls put together.
Right. And yes. And I don't, that's, you're right. That's not what it is. Yeah, so maybe it's not that every ancestor comes at every one of these events, but that it's possible that it is likely that you'll see somebody that you know, or that your family knew.
Frank.
Yeah, what's up?
I like to imagine that, like, everyone's grandpa comes, but it's not everyone's grandpa, i.e. like hundreds and thousands of Tidelings. It's just one guy and he's everyone's grandpa.
Well, here's the thing. That's how human history works. If you think about it, like you have two parents, four grandparents, 16 great grandparents, etc. Eventually there you go far enough back and the number of people who were born as a result of one person increases significantly, and it just like widens out. And so you pick any of those people and it's like, oh, this person's actually related to all of these other people. So there, that probably does actually happen. I think that'd be actually a really cool way of like tracking people's connections to each other. But
I don't necessarily mean literally everyone's grandpa. I mean someone to fill the role of everyone's grandpa.
Oh, you're saying somebody, they're telling stories about everyone's grandparents, and then one person gets selected to play the role of everyone's grandparents.
And that's Santa.
Okay, I don't know if it has to be a dude, but I really idea. Holy shit, everyone's either grandpa or grandma, but whoever, maybe they just call them like the, either the father or the mother, and like depending on the year, either the father or the mother shows up. Father something, whatever the event is called, or mother something, whatever the event is called, and that person, do they give gifts? Do you think that they give gifts for this? What is the experience of being in this? First of all, I'm imagining Tidelings all over the place. They're there during the day. Everyone's spending their time with them.
Everyone's drinking Tidenog.
Yep, people from all over come to visit, to see, and even though this is kind of a more personal experience, I think that it isn't that people are allowed to see this.
What if Tidenog is like fermented bat milk?
You and fucking bat milk, dude. What is the deal? You thirsty for bats now, man? Yeah, you got some sort of weird bat milk fetish?
So fermented bat milk, like a shot of rum and then like a shot of seawater, and you mix it all up.
Okay. All right, sure. We'll go with that.
Everyone's drinking Tidenog.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Yeah, what's up? What is
it? Is it your Santa Claus?
I thought you'd want to know.
From accounts payable.
I know.
What the fuck is it? Okay. I wonder if this is my motherboard. It's from FedEx.
FedEx? You should thank your Santa Claus, Frank.
No, I got my processor yesterday.
Thank your Santa Claus.
Thank
her.
You, Rachel.
There you go. Thank you, Santa Claus.
Okay, well, so we interrupt this the podcast to actually bring you a live podcasting unboxing right in the middle of the...
Yeah, the best unboxings are the ones you can't see.
Yep, I think this might actually be something from my parents, potentially, because I know that they also... Nope.
It's the motherboard.
It's the motherboard.
On the second day of Tide Bread.
Rog Strix.
My grandpa gave to me two Rog Strix. One Trio 5 Gaming.
It's an X570, which is the chipset that is like the most recent. It's made for use with like the Zen 3 architecture, which is the stuff that they're doing with like the newer processor, so it can like fully use that. It's got, yeah, I'm excited. I don't need to talk about this anymore. I'm just excited. Yay! This is it, man. Until the 3070 comes, this is the last piece.
And you can actually start making it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I now can actually start plugging things in. I think I am going to wait until after Christmas, though, just because then I can put all these things under the tree and have them, like, two Marty McFly from Doc Hudson, two, you know...
Who's Doc Hudson?
Doc Hudson? No, wait, that's...
that's
the car from Cars! It's the guy who teaches him how to drift. No, that's who's giving Marty McFly a gift in this one.
What the fuck?
It's Doc Hudson.
Is Marty McFly drifting in the fucking DeLorean?
Oh god. Yeah, well, hey, it probably can do air drifting.
Confirmed, Cars is the post-apocalyptic future of back to the future.
Oh my god, that was so stupid. I love it. Okay. Well, I'm fine with that, but where were we before I got interrupted by Santa?
We were discussing the king or the father and mother of Tidemus.
You said king and queen.
Yeah.
I kind of don't hate that. I think father and mother I like more, but I don't know. What do we call this? The return? The
whelming. Wait, no. So we already did that.
Yeah. I also thought of the whelming. I don't know, maybe we just come up with a fantasy name for it, like it doesn't have like a like All Tides Day or something, you
Boildgar.
Know I don't know, whatever we call it, let's just call it Tides Day for now, and then we'll figure out a proper name for
Bongdeer.
Bongdeer. Sure. On Tides Day, though, you've got the Tide Father, Tide Mother, or whatever we call them. Is there gift giving? I think welcoming tidelings into people's homes is common. The idea of like, oh, you stay with us this year. And each person is encouraged to just like welcome a random person. I think that they are offered a lot of experiences, but because people can't take things with them, you know, because when they dissipate, like they leave it behind. I don't know if gift giving would necessarily be the thing.
This might
I think it'd more be about like providing them with experiences that they.
This might be where it's like food is a big thing, and then after the food, and you know, and digestif, of course. This might be where you tell your best story for the year. Like I heard this from a traveling adventurer.
You've been holding on to one for months.
Yeah. And you tell the guest, and not the guest doesn't tell you.
For once, they don't need to tell the stories.
Yeah.
I like that. We're just here, like, it is the best example of them being their honored guests. Like, you think about the rest of the year, tidelings aren't necessarily taken in. They're more like these people that you experience and see, you know, in the course of a day or whatever, but they're kind of going about their own business. But for this time, they actually kind of need some place to stay or whatever, because they're not just like a see-through, you know, image or something. They're like for the time that they're there, they're like a physical being that, like, yeah, magic is causing them to be physical, but they're still able to touch and experience and, like, eat and
love.
All that stuff. And so, and love, I mean,
bow, 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 bow.
I mean, let's be honest, maybe.
You've always wanted to bang Santa Claus, Frank.
There's probably people who fuck tidelings. There's probably people who tell stories about tidelings who are really great lay. Just like, oh, his bone, that boner he's got, man. It's so good. It feels.
It came and went like the tide.
all the right things in all the right places.
So we got sexy anyways, Christmas.
Yep, I mean, and by the way, definitely Brandy, you're a fine girl playing all over the place here.
Is that it?
No, that's bad. but all of this to say, I like that this is an inversion. Carter's making fun of me waving my hands because I, for good reason, I like that it's an inversion of like the rest of the year. They're receiving people. They are hearing their stories. You know, they are serving them and stuff. And it's a flip it on its head. It's actually like they're receiving the tidlings now, and they're sharing stories to the tidlings and like offering them food and drink and like, you know, sort of like an honoring of that, which is, you know, past, in a gratefulness for getting to experience them. I think that that's really cool.
Yeah, I think it's good form for the tidlings to bring food as well, but it's not required.
Where are they bringing it from? Dude, the tidlings are bringing gifts, actually. I think that the tidlings, the father and the mother, I don't know how that even works. I think that the father, mother, whoever they are, it, because the story is that they bring gifts because they fulfill the story. I don't even know what that looks like, but they're literally arriving and they are actually going around the island and dropping off like items.
They've got like a t-shirt gun.
Precious things.
Bam, bam, bam.
No, man, they just have a sack. I mean, I guess Santa Claus' sack is essentially a toy t-shirt gun, a global t-shirt gun for all children. But Jesus Christ, that's fucking funny. No, I mean, I think that they just spend their time going about and every house is receptive to them. And it's like, oh, I love this picture of like, you have a tideling, you're sharing stories with, you're sharing like, they have brought you a gift. And maybe the tidlings actually know whose houses they're going to. So you don't actually know who you're going to receive. But like, I think everybody receives somebody. I think that's the thing, is I don't think that would be really sad if there was a house that, maybe there are stories about people not receiving tidlings.
Yeah, they have the Bah Humbug.
And scary.
What's his name? Scrooge?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not receiving anybody. And then they go and they beat the shit out of him. And
Or like a poor little Tiny Tim who, you know, has this awful shack, you know, on the edge of a, you know, and his parents have all died and stuff like that. And, oh, you know, I'm not expecting anybody today because I don't have a door they could knock on.
And then
just a hole in the wall.
Father Tidemus fucking kicks down the door and shoots him with a t-shirt gun.
Enjoy. See you, kid. No, I think that that's probably like, I think that people, that happens about as often as people in our world receiving coal for Christmas. Which
the t-shirt gun?
If it is, it's a joke, because I don't think I know anybody who's actually received coal for Christmas.
Well, maybe I should buy,
I like this.
Maybe I should buy like a bond to a coal company. That would be good. Like you got,
sure,
you got 10 stocks of a coal company.
Company.
Just invest in coal.
No, I mean, I think all of this, though, I think this works pretty well. I like the idea. I think, I think that, like we pretty much nailed it. Like, I don't feel like I have a lot I need to add.
I think there's festive fish.
Festive-ish?
Festive. Yes. Very good.
Some festive-ish? Yeah, I mean, there's definitely... Oh, yeah, I mean, maybe we do a two-parter and the next time we talk about some of the foods that people could eat or something like that. That could be kind of fun. Because it'll be... I mean, the next episode, this episode is releasing on Christmas. The next episode releases on New Year's, which is also a celebration.
Yeah, so we could talk about...
We should do a two-parter, because I'd like to see kind of how it ends, you know?
All right, let's do it then.
Yeah. Which also, okay, I do have a one. Do you have a one?
I was just going to talk about, like, plantain, fried plantain stuffed fried tuna or something like that. They just double fry it.
I do like that idea. My one was, I was thinking about... I think this does mean that their calendar, they're using a different calendar, because I think that this event happens at a different part of the year. I think there's not a lot of reason for them to divide up the year into months that are related to the seasons in the same way that Everass does, because they don't really have seasons.
Well, it could just be a holdover of colonialism.
Well, and that's what I was thinking, is I think that it's a calendar that is has been influenced by their post-colonial situation, which means it is probably something that was a calendar that might be a bastardization of an imperial calendar. So, like, they might have more months, or they might have, like, a consistency. Like, they might just measure a month, like, as a 10-week or something. You know, there might not be a reason to... there might just be 6 months in the year, and because... Or whatever their base system is. Maybe they do a 6-week. A month is just the same word as a 6-week, and then you just have six... Would that be 6 months? No, because you'd have 60 weeks... I don't know. Whatever. We'll figure it out later. But I do think that they have a different calendar.
Frank, I got my one.
Yeah, you got your one?
Yep.
What's your one?
Tide babies. If they can love, like, if they can love, Frank, why can't they impregnate?
Or be impregnated?
Well, I mean, that doesn't really matter too much, because they'll be gone and before 9 months. Question mark.
Except there are stories that would then be told about them. I'm thinking of a Brigadoon type situation where a baby doesn't get born for the next like several years or whatever, but somebody shows up on your door and is, I don't know how that would work, man. I don't know.
I thought you were gonna go babies though. I thought you're gonna say like 9 months after the celebration, just like babies wash up on the shore.
I mean, maybe, dude. Like, I could see that being a thing that potentially happens, and it's how some people explain away, like, the kid that they had, but didn't actually have because they disappeared for 8 months or whatever.
Yeah.
And also, come tell me that we couldn't make some good stories about that. And also, probably an entirely new ancestry that's like half tidling. You know, there's good stuff we could do there.
Ghostborn.
It's a fraught situation. We'll have to be careful with it, because feels delicate, but I think that we can do it well.
All right. Sounds good.
I trust us.
At least one of us
does.
All
right. Well, yeah. Well, all right. Well, everyone, thanks for letting us be your escape. It's been a fucking suck asshole of a year.
Frank, you gotta save but that for next time. Next time is
well, but it's almost over. Like, we've got 1 week left, and it's kind of crazy. Like, almost another year has gone by of doing Lore Keepers. That's kind of crazy. I mean, I think we'll be entering our fifth year of doing the podcast in January, which is crazy to think about.
I wonder.
Definitely doing it for us as much as we're doing it for you.
Frank, I wonder how many marriages don't last 4 years, but holy shit, our podcast has.
Yep.
It's dedication.
I think about that sometimes. But yeah, if you forgot your worries this last year and you want to make other people a little bit happier, hopefully our podcast brings you joy, and maybe can bring somebody else joy. We are on every podcasting service known to humankind, so don't be greedy. Share us with your friends and family.
Did we discuss something that was confusing as hell? Of course we did, but chances are there's some context in the podcast description, so go there. You can also explore the subreddit, or reach us at The Lore Keepers on Twitter, or email us at lorekeeperspodcast@gmail.com for questions or things you'd like to hear in future episodes.
Little side note, at the beginning of the season, I was hoping that a present would be ready. It wasn't. I think it might be ready by the time this comes out, but I'm not making any guarantees. But if it is, you'll know it. And when the next time that we record, when it is officially out, you'll know, and we'll talk about it, because I think both of us are pretty excited. You saw the most recent iteration, right?
Yep.
It looks good.
It does.
It looks really good. I'm probably just going to cut this because I don't even want to say that. But I'm excited, dude. I think that looked badass. All bow before the musical might of Joshua TGE, Silking Hammer, Forger of the Land of the Heroes, the Lore Keeper's theme. And we've got just one more of these before 2021 begins.
It's true.
This is you.
I know. I'm just dramatic pause.
Do you?
It's a dramatic pause.
Yep.
Until next time, don't forget, there are always more tide lanes to fuck.
Oh my god. Happy holidays, everyone. That's how this episode ends. Jesus Christ. We'll never not be that podcast, so.
Yeah.
All right. Stay safe out there. We love you all.
Yep. Stay frosty. Goodbye.
Bye. Remember Outriders? That was cool.
That was cool. Orun was good.
Orun was good. I really liked Orun. Hey, by the way, I beat the Fire Temple yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah, Dodongo, man. Is that Dodongo, right? The dragon? No, it's like Valva Vulva something. The
Valva Vulva is in...
either vagina or vulva is definitely in the name. It's like Vaginor or something. it is Vulvagia. Vulvagia. Come on, guys.
They're Japanese. They're Japanese.
Vulvagia? It doesn't get better if you try and pronounce it differently. Because the word vulva, I mean, V-O-L, so it's vulvo, but like, come on. No, yeah, I beat it yesterday. Dude, that fucker takes 3 hearts every time he hits you. It's annoying. Jeez. Yeah, I literally went in there.
Do you hit him with the iron hammer? Is that what happens?
Yeah, you use the megaton hammer. I went in there and I like L targeted him, and then I hear Navi going, "Hey!" And so I'm like, well, first I'm like, I'm gonna go up to him. Oh, okay, well, yeah, I'll take some fire, sure. Fire damage. Oh, that was 3 hearts, huh? Oh shit. Okay. I don't know, hook shot. I mean, I know I have to use the megaton hammer at some point. So what's the deal here? And then I take another 3 hearts and I'm like, oh fuck, okay, well I should probably just ask Navi. Navi, what do you know? She's like, yeah, I don't really know what his weak point is. I was like, okay, all right, fine, so I'll figure something out. So keep on trying to fight him and stuff, and then like nothing is working. I haven't figured out to just like, I tried hitting him with the megaton, but I was too slow. Like, you have to do it just as he comes out of the hole. So I was like, okay, so maybe you don't hit him first, you need to like, I don't know, shoot him with an arrow first or something like that. I don't know. And then, like, I'm down to 3 hearts, and Navi finally, you know, goes, hey! And I'm like, okay, all right, cool. Finally gonna get the advice. And I hit it again, and she's like, yeah, I still don't really know what to do with this one. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You wanted to update me on the fact that you still don't know how to fight this thing and what its weak point is? Thanks, Navi, that's super helpful. I die. Go back and I kill him in the next try because you just need to use the megaton hammer. But
it's a bit brutal using the hammer. Like, ooh.
Yeah, you're literally just swinging a giant hammer and like breaking it, the bones in its skull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of fucked.
I also already did Bottom of the Well. I unintentionally, I just kind of like started doing it because I drained the windmill because I was fucking around as a kid. I got the Eye of Truth and stuff. Mask of Truth, Lens of Truth, Lens of Truth.
I think it's the Lens of the Eye of Truth, yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know the last time you played that game, but if you ever go back to Ocarina of Time, do not play the original version. Play the 3D version, the remaster, yeah. Even if it's through an emulator, because, dude, I mean, all of the graphics look so much better. I mean, for reference, I think, is it still open? Yeah, I mean, like, Link just, like, looks... Well, here, I'll do this. Like, it just looks so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah, plus using the touchscreen is actually kind of helpful. You never have to... Yeah.
I actually went back
plus,
and played...
Apparently the water temple, which I know you have to change the water level of things, right? Apparently you can do it from the touchscreen. Like, just added the ability where you don't have to go back to rooms to increase the water level. You just do it from the touchscreen.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually did the Deku Tree like a few months ago.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did it on an emulator, but I did the original version.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's honestly, it's surprising to me. It really did actually matter. The higher like quality of graphics and stuff legitimately made it so that I could play that game. And I don't like to be that guy. Like, my sister is trying to get me to play Chrono Trigger, and I actually will. I don't think I need... I don't think that I need a, like, upscaled version, because it's different, because it's pixel art. And that's, like, that's a whole different experience, you know?
Yeah, and
like, I'm used to playing pixel art.
Plus, the big thing was going from 3D to... from 2D to 3D. With pixel art, they had mastered pixel art. They had known how to make pixel art beautiful.
It's crisp and clear. It looks great.
And then, the first generation of 3D, they're doing something they never fucking done before, so of course it looks like garbage.
Exactly. Yeah. And I do actually like this sort of the retro wave stuff that people pull together. I do like that it's becoming not on the level that, like, Minecraft, I think, brought back 8-bit art in a way that there was a couple other things at the time, too, but that was the biggest one. Like, it brought it back in a significant way that it just kind of hadn't been. But there also were, there are games right now that are being created with sort of that, you know, retro as PS1, N64 kind of vibe that I think are cool, but I think that because they're being done on modern consoles and they have modern console trappings, that adds a lot. Like, the fact that, I don't know, do you know how annoying it is that in order to get back to Lake Hylia, I have to go all the way to the old, like, I have to go to the Zora Fountain and then through the Zora Fountain and then travel. Like, it's so annoying to have to do that every time instead of, like, as a kid, instead of just, like, warping there or whatever, you know? Fast travel.
Yeah.
Because I don't have Epona.
I mean, there's some fast travel in the game.
Yeah. No, I mean, I found out, like, I figured out that the stuff through the Lost Woods, which I never knew about, you know, I've had such a loose understanding of, like, Ocarina of Time. I know all of the things that are... It's funny because, like, there's things that are supposed to be surprises or reveals or whatever that I'm just, like, I've just known since forever. Like, the obvious one is Zelda and Sheik. Like, who doesn't know that Zelda was Sheik if you have any awareness with the... They spoil it in Smash Bros., you know? But, like, the fact that Saria was a sage was supposed to be a reveal. I guess I just, like, knew too much about Zelda at that point for that to be a reveal. I was just like, oh, yeah, of course she is. I already knew that because she was at the temple and shit. Why else would she be there? But, yeah.
All right, well, anyways.
It's good, though, isn't it?
Did we start? We didn't start the episode yet, did we?
No.
Okay.
It's good, though, isn't
it? Yeah, it is good. It's actually good. I think I might enjoy Majora's Mask more just because it's weirder and because... At this point, like, what's enjoyable about Ocarina of Time is it still stands. It still actually stands on its own 2 feet. But because it became the formula that everything else was, you know, based off of, it's just a really good one of those now. Like, it's just a good one of those, but it's just one of those. Whereas Majora's Mask will, I think, kind of forever be just weird because it's so weird, because it's not like there's an entire genre of games where you Groundhog Day the same 3 days over and over again to stop a moon from blowing up and then wear people's masks to, like, morph horrifically into, like, warped versions of your own body.
Yeah, but know? One thing, Frank, is that there's a lot of good stuff in Ocarina of Time that are side quests. That you may not even see, because, like, I played through the game and I did not do any of the side quests when I first did it, but then, you know, I realized that there are these side quests that actually give you really cool shit.
What are some of the side quests you're talking about?
There's a sword you can get. It's a two-handed sword called the Bigoron.
The Bigoron
Yeah.
Because I have I think I have the Bigoron knife, but I know it's, like, breakable or whatever, so I stopped using it. Also, it's really expensive.
Yeah.
I know that there's a way of doing it, I just don't know how. I've been doing the Golden Sculptulas, but that's kind of less of a side quest and more just kind of something that's necessary on some level, because, like, if you want a bigger wallet.
Yeah.
Do you know about the bug selling dupe?
The bug selling dupe? No.
Yeah, this will got to be the last thing that I share anyways. You know, if you want to say more, you feel free to. Yeah, so if you catch a bug in a jar, you can sell it to the guy in the marketplace or in the town. Kakariko for 50 rupees, right? It is easily the fastest way to make money, because if you empty a bottle, you 3 bugs come out.
What?
Yeah. So literally I was standing in front of the guy.
I'd empty one bottle, three bugs would come out. I'd catch two of them in two empty bottles. I'd sell one to the guy, I'd empty the other one out, three more bugs come out, and then I just keep on doing that. And literally within minutes, you have like a full wallet. So it still is aggravating as hell that I've now opened two chests with two yellow rupees in them that are worth 200 at a max wallet. It's just the most fucking infuriating thing ever. It just feels completely useless. Just fill my arrows instead. Just don't even show me that there was a rupee in here. Just give me more arrows or something convenient. But fuck, I hate it. But also, whatever. Nothing matters about money because I can get money, all the money I need immediately. So,
all right.
This started because I was watching somebody play a Zelda Ocarina of Time randomizer. Did I tell you that?
No.
Oh, it's funny, dude. It's also just really cool because it takes every Skulltula, every chest, every time that somebody gives you something as a reward, every cow, and it randomizes the locations of all items in the game. You can put some limits on it, but like every shopkeeper is also selling things, and they're for random prices too. There are logic breaking prevention things built in. So like, for instance, like you can't, a chest won't have a key inside it that you can only get to by having the key that the chest is inside. But there's all sorts of other stuff. So like the person that I'm watching play it, it's actually the Achievement Hunter guys. It's Michael and Matt. The boss key to Ganon's castle was fucking on a Skulltula on the side of the Deku tree. Like, They caught it, and like Matt started laughing really hard, and Michael's like, "What's so funny?" He's like, "Turn around." He turns around, and literally like 20 feet away, he goes, "Yeah, that's your house." It's just funny. But yeah, no, it's very fun to watch. Also, the reason why it's funny is because all the music and sound effects are also randomized. So the combat music is the music that plays when you're doing the bomb chew game.
Oh my god.
It's extremely funny. You know the sound that the King Zora makes when he's like moving, it goes, it's like weep,
weep. Yes.
When he's at one heart, that's the sound that it makes. And also and also whenever he uses the hover boots, like he puts on the hover boots and moves around, it goes weep. It's just very funny. Yeah, so there's good stuff in there. It's pretty funny.
Very good.
Especially if you're familiar with the game. I recommend you go check it out. It's a very funny playthrough.
All right.
Okay, we should do the episode.